Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk. It's a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute, supported by listeners just like you. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us.
If you're an NFL fan, you probably remember the epic last few minutes of the 2018 Super Bowl between the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots. I'm Roger Marsh, and let me set the scene for you. 2 minutes and 25 seconds left in the fourth quarter. New England ahead by 1 point. The Eagles have the ball. First down at the 12-yard line. Quarterback Nick Foles was able to pass to tight end Zach Ertz, who dove into the end zone for a touchdown. The Patriots weren't able to answer in their final possession, and the Philadelphia Eagles upset New England to win their first Super Bowl trophy in team history. As an athlete, being part of that winning team would have to be a career high, wouldn't it? To catch that winning touchdown, though? Oh, that must have been a dream come true. Well, today on Family Talk, we'll be sharing a 2018 interview featuring Dr. Tim Clinton and tight end Zach Ertz, the man who caught that winning pass. The interview was recorded at the Men's Ignite Conference just a few months after Zach caught the winning touchdown, and you can feel the excitement from the audience. Dr. Dobson and Dr. Clinton got together shortly after Men's Ignite to give a special introduction to this exciting interview. Let's go there right now.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and with me is Dr. Tim Clinton, and we have a very special program for you here on Family Talk. He recorded a program. I was not there, but you're going to want to hear what happened. It was with one of the heroes of last year's Super Bowl, and I'm going to let him tell you about it. Tim, there were 6,000 men in the audience listening to this interview. You called him to the platform, didn't you?
I did, Dr. Dobson. Imagine a room with a lot of men and a lot of energy going on.
Guys, testosterone all over
the
place.
And they love the outdoors, and they love football, Dr. Dobson. There was a moment during this interview that I think God really moved. You know when you sense a real shift?
Yeah.
That happens. Well, here we had Zach Ertz. He's an American football tight end for the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles of the NFL. He was actually drafted in the second round of the 2013 NFL draft. He played college football. Guess where? Stanford University. He was recognized in college as a unanimous All-American. But let me go back to the Philadelphia Eagles just for a moment, you all. That storybook NFL Super Bowl championship started way back with some NFL football players, namely Carson Wentz, who was the quarterback who got hurt, Nick Foles, who stepped in as a backup quarterback, led them all the way to the Super Bowl. So it's an unbelievable story. Zach Ertz and others, they are dynamic Christians. If you're on social media, Facebook, what have you, no doubt if you have seen anything about the Eagles, you've seen baptisms going on. The players are involved in Bible studies. The wives are involved in Bible studies. The coaches are involved in Bible study and more. They give God the glory. We're so delighted to have Zach Ertz with us, who, by the way, catches the, really what I say is the winning touchdown pass in the Super Bowl. And it was that pass where he caught it, he runs for a couple of yards, he dives for the end zone with his hand stretched, the ball crosses the line. And then when he hits the ground, you know, fumbles it. And so the big debate was it a touchdown or not?
Of course, that was a big agonizing pause while they analyzed this. And the Super Bowl depended on it. The outcome hung in the balance while they were deciding whether or not he really caught that ball or not.
Here's a great NFL superstar who loves the Lord with his whole heart.
And he loves his mama.
And he loves his mama. He grew up in brokenness. Sports became an outlet for him. But then he goes on a journey, and he's on a mission now. He isn't just a superstar on the football field. He's a giant among that younger generation right now. And, hey, everybody loves football, Dr. Dobson.
And, again, there were 6,000 men sitting out there cheering and enjoying every minute of it. Thank you for recording this interview, and I think our listeners are really going to enjoy it themselves.
Zach's got an amazing story, you guys. I'm going to go all the way back.
I want to talk, first of all, about your mom. And your mom becomes your rock growing up as a boy.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about her. She was actually the one, by the way, who said you were destined for the NFL long before you even begin to think about it.
Yeah, she's an incredible woman. My parents, I have three younger brothers, so I'm the oldest of four boys. And my parents separated when I was 15 years old. And oftentimes as men, we kind of shut everything off around us. And with my three younger brothers, I was viewed as the leader. And I was just kind of like this. I didn't want to talk to anyone. There was no one around to kind of talk to about what I was going through, the terrible time that I was enduring at that moment when I was 15. So kind of the only way to express my anger that I had pent up was to work out and train. And so that was kind of when I started to get into the weight room, not because I wanted to be a great athlete, but because I didn't have anywhere else to go. Sports were kind of my sanctuary away from all the drama that was going on with my family. So it was definitely a tough time. I think looking back on it, I would have handled it a lot different. I think as men, we struggle communicating and being vulnerable with other people. And even when you're 15 years old, it's kind of been instilled on you already. Don't show weakness. Men aren't allowed to cry. So it was definitely a time in my life that was extremely tough on me, but my mom was the rock of our family at the time.
Zach, you said in when you were in ninth grade, mom forced you to go back up for football. You actually played, again, let me say this, played quarterback and some wide receiver, and you were playing free safety, basically, right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine him playing free safety coming at you?
It was a lot of fun.
Let me give a name to this guy that God brings into your life. Brent Jones, right?
Yep.
So tell us about Brent. I mean, because this is really a page turner for you.
Yeah, so Brent was in the area. He played for the Niners. I grew up in Northern California. Our high school was in the East Bay. His daughter was a year older than me at the high school. She was dating our star quarterback. So he came out and coached me only because my high school football coach said, hey, we got this basketball player who thinks he can play college basketball, but he really can't. We come out here and kind of show him his potential. And I was 16 at the time, and a former NFL tight end is coming to my high school telling me, man, if you do X, Y, and Z, you're going to be playing on Sundays in the NFL. And I was like, I barely even know you. Who are you? Like, I thought he was crazy, but obviously he knew what he was talking about. After, like, my first game of my junior year, I go out and have, like, 140 yards and a touchdown. And I start getting these letters from bigger football schools. I was getting letters from small school basketball schools, but I think my first letter for football was Northwestern. And I was like, Big Ten? I would have never dreamed of playing a sport in that kind of size of a conference. And then he actually reached out to Jim Harbaugh at Stanford at the time and said, hey, I got this kid in the East Bay. He's a tight end. You need to offer him a scholarship. So Stanford comes in. Coach Harbaugh offers me a scholarship. And then I commit to Stanford in November of my junior year. But then that's when things kind of still are in motion. At Stanford, you have to do a full application. I had to take the ACT twice. Stanford, your senior year, you have to take two honors, AP classes. My senior year, I was like, I don't even want to do this, really. I'm a senior. All my other friends that are going places for college aren't doing any work. They're just chilling at this point. And so I go visit UCLA because that was a school that had they were always on me recruiting me wise. And so I go down there and UCLA, you're like, man, this is for me. I'm 17 years old. I don't really know any better. I want to come here. And so I finally get admitted to Stanford and my mom says, oh, UCLA is no longer an option. You're going to Stanford. You're staying 45 minutes away from me and it's going to be way better for you long term. And she was 100% right.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Zach, people talk a lot about discipline, attitude, all those different things. Is there one thing that you've seen that has helped separate people up at that collegiate level, maybe up even in the NFL? You say, that's it. That's a big deal right there.
Yeah, I think I had someone speak to our Stanford team when I was a freshman at the time. And he gave this whole speech about how when he was playing football, this guy was a Hall of Fame guard for the Raiders, and he came back to coach Stanford. Steve Wisniewski was his name. He came back to Stanford and gave us this story about how he approached college, how he approached the NFL, and it really resonated with me. He said his mindset was all about giving everything he has to football, to life, to his marriage, so he has no regrets when he's done. And that's kind of the thing that I've kind of instilled in myself. I want to work as hard as I possibly can. I'm going to prioritize the things that are important in life, not going out to a party on a Friday night when I was in college. I didn't really do that, any of that stuff in college. I wanted to focus on my schoolwork and my football because I knew that that was going to be important down the road. So everything I've done has kind of been with that attacking mentality that everything in football, I'm going to pour into it. I want to, because when I'm done playing in hopefully 10 years from now, I'm going to look back and say, I gave everything I possibly could to football. And then when I'm done, I can't say that I regretted doing this or I regretted doing that or I wish I did this. It's probably the one thing that people that didn't make it to this level would say, always say, man, I wish I would have done that. I wish I did that or I wish I worked harder. But I kind of have that mindset where I'm just giving everything I have into this. And it's really in my spiritual life, too, is I'm putting everything into this because I don't want to get to heaven one day and say, man, I wish I would have done this or I wish I would have done that. And so that's kind of been the mentality that I've had. And anytime I kind of speak to someone that's in high school, is focus on the things that are truly important in life to you, whether it be school, whether it be academics, whether it be chess. Be the best chess player you can possibly be if that's the avenue you've been called to do. And when you're done with it, when your career's over, then you'll have that right mindset.
Hey, let's fast forward to 2013.
Yeah.
It's draft day. Zach gets picked 35th overall, right?
Yeah.
So you were round two, pick three.
Yeah.
And guess who called? The Philadelphia Eagles. Did you think you were going to the Eagles? Did you want to go to the Eagles, man?
I did not think I was going there. The Eagles just signed a guy in free agency that they were paying a lot of money to. They had a Eagles probable Hall of Famer in Brent Celek, who had been there forever. I was like, I'm probably not going to that team. I thought I would go from picks like 20 to 40. When I didn't get picked in the first round, I was really bummed. My wife and I had a couple donuts that night to kind of indulge in, to kind of boost my spirits. But Philly at the time, when they called, I was shocked. My wife now, my girlfriend at the time, is a year younger than me in school. So she was a junior when I was a senior coming out. And so it was definitely a lot of uncertainty in that regard, going 3,000 miles away to the East Coast, going to the NFL. When you hear all these bad rumors about NFL players, for her, it was tough. She was not the happiest of campers at the time. She was in tears, but it worked out. There was definitely a reason, a much bigger reason than I would have known at the time of why I'm in Philly.
And Zach, a part of the journey here, you wound up that one year with a serious groin injury,
yeah.
And then right after that, a concussion. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got hammered.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that adversity piece there. Did you think it was over? I mean, what was going on?
Yeah, I mean, so I've been dealing with groin issues my first 2 years in the league, and then that summer training camp, it finally just comes off the bone. I tear three adductors off the bone.
Oh.
They had to go in, attach all those. They tied my abs down back to my pelvis because those were fraying a little bit. And the first game was in 4 weeks. So I was like, I'm not missing a game. So they said 6 to 8 week recovery. I was back in 3.5 weeks just because I was pouring everything into this recovery. And so I started off slow. I definitely wasn't myself the first quarter of the season for sure. And then I start slowly getting better, back to myself. Then I get a concussion, miss a game. And then I end the season really strong. But that's also the year our head coach gets fired. So there's a lot of uncertainty going into the offseason. I signed an extension in Philly that offseason. So at that point, I'm like, okay, I'm good. I'm set in Philly. Adversity's over in football. I'm good. I'm ready to go. Which couldn't have been further from the truth. It was definitely tough. Those injuries are part of the game, though. Adversity, you're going to deal with it, like I said, in every walk of life. It's about how you respond to it, though.
2016.
Yeah.
New coach, got a new quarterback, mm-hmm. guy named Carson Wentz.
Yep.
This relationship, though, starts, a friendship.
Yeah.
You and Carson Wentz are close friends.
Yes.
And this spiritual thing. Let's go into this year. I mean, yeah. You're building this success. People are looking at Philadelphia thinking they're going to go all the way to the Super Bowl. You started in the season. I mean, you've got up on social media, baptisms happening, people, yeah. Bible studies. Tell us a little bit about the climate, what was going on. And we're going to talk about Carson going down here in a moment. But
yeah.
The bonding thing that was going, it seemed like it was crazy strong.
Yeah, I got hurt the first game of the year. I, like, separated my rib. it was pushed back. They were worried that I was going to lose feeling in my arm, so I wasn't able to play. So I was kind of worried about that as I was playing. And then we played the Bengals, like week 10, and this guy's running at me, and I think Carson's running out of bounds. And so I'm like, I'm not going to hit this guy. And so at this point in my life, football was the thing that I thought I always had control of. It was a thing that, God, you can have everything else, because at this point, I had known Jesus, but I didn't have a relationship with him. And so at this point, I'm injured. I'm kind of trying to protect this thing, but I'm trying to give my all to the city and my teammates. And so Carson goes out of bounds. I don't block the guy, and the city of Philadelphia at that point was not letting me have it. Being labeled soft in Philadelphia is a cardinal sin, according to them. So the whole world seemed like it was caving in around me. It was caving in around me. My football, everything I had done in my career up to that point was getting attacked by everyone. And at this point, I had guys that have been placed in Philly to spread the gospel. Carson, Nick Foles, Trey Burton, Jordan Hicks, Jordan Matthews. And I was always like this with football. My whole day, my whole life revolved around it. These guys were even keeled. Nothing affected these guys. Their mentality was so much bigger. Their perspective was so much bigger than mine. So while all this stuff was going on outside of me, that's when I kind of stepped back. I said, God, I don't know how this is going to end, but I want to give you everything. I'm not trying to control anything anymore. I just want to submit my life to you. And at that point, my perspective in life changed. Saved my life. That week was probably the toughest week I had from an earthly perspective, but from an eternity perspective, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. And so it was the guys that I had around me helped me on this journey way before I would have ever realized, because they were placed in Philly.
Zach, yeah, amen. For you and your teammates, there really was a spiritual kind of revival or something that started taking place. Carson, outspoken. You, outspoken.
Yeah.
A number of the team. Nick Foles. But what was this piece? I know I had a good buddy. We have a mutual friend, Scott Lindsay from Logos Software.
Yeah.
You guys got trained in their software so you could do Bible study at a whole nother level and press into your relationship with Christ in a whole new zone.
Yeah. Yeah, the spiritual, I mean, the brotherhood on our team from a spiritual bond is nothing like it in the NFL. We had a lot of guys get hurt this year, like Jason Peters is a Hall of Fame left tackle. Darren Sproles, arguably Hall of Fame running back. Jordan Hicks will be a Pro Bowl linebacker. Maragos will be a Pro Bowl special teams player. And then we lose our MVP quarterback, the best player on our team, the guy that we're 12-2 with. This guy is lighting everything on fire. And the thing about our team is that we really didn't miss a beat. Even the injured guys, when they were hurt, realized how special we had as a team, that they were finding joy even though the darkest of times were attacking their football career. On the morning of the Super Bowl, we had our chaplain come in from New Jersey, and he gave us the story of Gideon. And it was eerie. It was, in my opinion, God showing us that he still had us at this time. Gideon was going to fight. He had 22,000 men with him. And at the start of the year, the Eagles, we probably had the most talented team in the NFL. And God told Gideon, that's too many men. If you go into battle with this many men, I'm not going to get the glory. The men are going to get the glory. And so then there's 10,000 men. And then God said, that's still too many. So there's 300 men with Gideon. And so that, and then he goes out and dominates like he always does when people lean on God. And so we got that word the Sunday of our Super Bowl. And we had been talking about that early in the year, but to have that word given to us the Sunday before the Super Bowl, we truly felt like there was nothing that could stop us.
Zach, whenever you guys made your way into the dome for the bowl, the Super Bowl, I mean, there must have been an aura that was...
Yeah.
And kind of a David and Goliath story here. Come on, you're going up against Belichick, Tom Brady, the tradition of the Patriots.
Yeah.
They're there. Everybody's talking about them. You guys are, well.
Yeah, I mean,
What was it like walking in there?
Yeah, it was surreal, honestly, if I'm going to be honest. That game is the game that you watch growing up as a kid. That whole week is not about football. It's the spectacle of the Super Bowl. You get there. We got there Sunday night. We had an hour interview Sunday night. Monday, same thing. Tuesday, same thing. The top 10 guys on the team are up on these podiums with there's all these reporters in front of you for an hour straight, which is never the case. And then so every day you have these media obligations, and then you get to the game finally. You're like, finally, we're playing football. And then there's like a 10-minute, I think Pink played for what seemed like 10 minutes in my eyes for the national anthem. And then the halftime show was like 35 minutes long. So there was all these outside kind of chaoses around you as a first-time team in the Super Bowl, and you're going against the Patriots who go there every year, it seems like. And if you told me going into the game that we would be in a shootout against Tom Brady, I would say, oh, we got no chance. That guy's the best of the best. Bill Belichick's the best of the best. But we made enough plays, and God was on our side. I truly believe that it's not a coincidence, everything that happened this year, the stage, the platform that he put us on for how outspoken a lot of guys are about their faith, that, I mean, this isn't a coincidence.
Couple big-time plays in that game. Yeah. Couple big-time plays in the game. Of course, Foles, first quarterback, I think, to throw a pass and catch a pass for a touchdown.
Yep.
That was insane.
Yeah.
That was a big, big-time momentum shift.
Yeah.
But also, you guys are down, and there's this play, and there's this guy, number 86, who catches the ball and is diving for the end zone, and the ball goes across the plane.
Yeah.
Hits the ground, comes out of your hands. Did you think it was a touchdown?
Yeah, I'm going to interject right there.
I know.
I caught the ball. I ran.
There we go.
And then dove. And then the ball, at that point, had already crossed the goal line.
Yes.
So I thought it was a moot point.
Talking to Zach here, one of the things I realized was he's different. There's something inside of him that's different. To go up there, man, and do all that stuff and yeah. Come here. You wanted to be here.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what we appreciate.
I mean, this is what I want to do. I want to share my story. I want to encourage people to learn about Jesus, not just to learn about him, but to truly get to know him and what he's about and what he did for all of us. It is truly remarkable when you read, when you understand, when you gain that relationship and that perspective, how much different and how much better life can be on this earth than for eternity. And so when Coach Peterson goes up there after we win the Super Bowl, and he says, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that kind of tells the team, I see what you guys have been doing. I'm encouraging you guys to do whatever you want to do to give God the glory. And so I want to interact with you guys. I want to help you guys out. One of the things, I wouldn't be here without the group of men that have constantly encouraged me each and every day. So if I could encourage you guys to surround yourself with people that are going to hold you accountable, that are going to make you a better believer, that are going to push you to understand the word better, that is something that changed my life. Sports and whatever walk of life you are in, the people you surround yourself are going to shape who you are and how far you're able to develop as a believer. That's all I gotta say.
Hey, you guys, if you appreciate his testimony, let him know it. Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl champ!
Well, this is James Dobson again, and Dr. Tim Clinton is with us. Tim, thanks for recording that program, because that's really has substance. For somebody within the NFL, he's got fans all over the place. So you win the Super Bowl, you're a big deal. And yet, he cared about his mom and the Lord. You brought all that out.
It was one of the most, I think, genuine, tender, real interviews I've ever done. You sat there in the audience, I'm across from him, and you believed him. He really loves the Lord. Thank God for men like that.
Yeah.
You know what? And let's pray that God would continue to move among the hearts of men in our country, in our homes. I think it's probably one of the greatest challenges of our day is for men to step up and take their rightful place.
You know, with a program like this, the majority of the listeners are often women, usually are. women. And I love it when men are in the audience and they respond with a message to the heart. And that's what took place here.
You bet.
If you missed any of today's broadcast, remember, you can find that and more by visiting drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. That's drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. Or give us a call at 877-732-6825. Thanks for making Family Talk a part of your life today and every day. If you've been blessed by today's program, please consider making a tax-deductible donation in support of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. You can learn more by visiting drjamesdobson.org or by giving us a call at 877-732-6825. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. God's richest blessings to you and yours.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.